Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 13 after. No, it's not 13 after. It's 12 after. You think I'd learn to tell time after all these years, wouldn't you? It's 12 after the hour. I don't know what I'm thinking about. I guess it's all this Disney. I'm not really on vacation, folks, but I'm getting in a vacation kind of mind here. And so I got to pay more attention here. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com. And Stephen Gaffney is our guest and our good friend. He's the author of Just Be Honest. Stephen, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again.
Good to have you back. Have you ever had one of those vacation kind of attitudes? You know, you're not really. I know you've been to Disney World before. You've worked down here. You've done some programs for folks down here, and you know, it's sort of it creeps up on you, doesn't it?
That relaxing atmosphere.
Yeah. I got to kind of straighten up a little bit here, Stephen. Stephen, how do we talk about just be honest without sounding preachy, without sounding self-righteous, without sounding, you know, sanctimonious? How do we do that?
Well, the big thing is to realize that we all can be righteous and judgmental. You know, I always laugh when people say, I'm not judgmental. Well, everybody is.
We're all judgmental.
Yeah, the question is whether we're honest about it, right? But the key thing is that when we're being judgmental or being very opinionated, that we take ownership of it, that we try to not act like we're not being opinionated when we are, and we're not being righteous when we are. Mm-hmm. So the big thing is to take ownership that, you know, I have an opinion, and here's my opinion, or I have a strongly held opinion, rather than trying to act like our opinions are facts.
Here's my favorite way of saying that I'm taking ownership of my opinions. I like to say I'm frequently wrong, but never in doubt. Now that's when you're taking responsibility for being judgmental.
Oh, absolutely. It's funny because, you know, and then the other aspect is when I say to people that we're often wrong about our opinions, sometimes people push back on me and they say, well, then I'm going to sound insecure, not confident. I remember I was doing a seminar for the Environmental Protection Agency, the Office of General Counsel, and one of the lawyers pushed back on me and she said, well, then I'm not going to be, you know, I'm not going to sound confident. And she said, you know, and you're telling me that we're wrong about our opinions. I said, well, aren't you wrong? And she said, well, yes. I said, well, hopefully you convince people based on how you present the facts, not how emphatically you state your opinions.
So are you saying that people, if their level of dishonesty, and that when I say, and I use the operative word there, folks, is level of dishonesty, or maybe whatever word you want to use instead of dishonesty, what if that level of that thing that it is because that people do that because they don't want to appear to be weak?
Well, I think it's a big point, is that people hate to admit that they're wrong. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the political news and or watch
and
business.
All the wives are nodding their heads out there ardently right now.
Well, just so, I mean, you know, I always tell people the three greatest words in the English language are, I am sorry.
Yeah.
You know, so much of the stuff can be wiped out.
Powerful, isn't it?
Absolutely. A couple months ago, I was in a movie theater watching Cold Mountain on a date, and somebody was talking throughout the whole movie. And then as I was walking outside, as we were walking out, the guy kept on talking and, like, laughing about it. And finally, I turned around to him as we're walking into the movie theater, and I said, listen, I paid to hear the movie, not to hear you speak. The guy looks at me, and his face changed, and he said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
See, the difference between you and me, Stephen, is I would have said it to him in the movie. I wouldn't have waited till he went outside. You're too nice.
Well, but the key thing in the story is that once he apologized, my anger completely went away.
Yeah.
I mean, so many times we're just afraid to say I'm sorry, but that can take and wipe away so many problems. I mean, history is filled with people who wouldn't take responsibility, and the political polls just showed it until we take responsibility, and then suddenly we're just, you know, people are very forgiving because we all make mistakes.
You're exactly right. And, you know, when it comes to customer service, Stephen, I have found that even if you can't give the person what they want, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube for them, or if they've done something, or if you or your people have done something, you're exactly right. I mean, how many times have you not gotten what you wanted, but because somebody came out of the back room and said, I'm really sorry about this, and we're going to do everything we can to make you happy. We can't fix that, but what else can we do? But as you said, the I'm sorry thing just disarmed everybody, didn't it?
Absolutely, and that's so important because with small businesses, we all make mistakes. We're sometimes understaffed. We've got a lot going on. Business ebbs and flows, and sometimes we just mess up. And the key thing is to take responsibility and apologize. And so many times, people are incredibly forgiving if we just do that.
I remember a little story many, many years ago. I was working in retail, and we were trained. We were told that if somebody fell, we were to help them up, but we were not to say I'm sorry. Because the lawyers had told the company that if anybody said they were sorry, that would be admitting guilt, and that would be using it in a lawsuit against us.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
The culture of not wanting to take responsibility. I mean, some people might be saying, well, there's legal obligations. Okay, but how about the day in and day out stuff where it's obvious that we messed up, and taking care of that. And saying I'm sorry, or you can at least say I'm sorry for putting you in this situation, or whatever the case may be. But the key thing is, customer service is everything. As studies show, a happy customer doesn't nearly as tell as many people as an unhappy customer.
Mm-hmm.
And people sorry.
Well, you're exactly right. And when a customer, when a customer has a problem, they're much more likely to. The situation is much more likely to escalate on its own rather than de-escalate on its own, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So,
I mean, they're more likely to become madder. I mean, I'm thinking about myself when I'm as a customer. They're more likely to become angrier and more unhappy. That's almost an automatic thing. Somebody has to do something to disarm the situation, don't they?
Absolutely, and realizing that we are often wrong with our assessments is the key. I was on a plane going to Chicago to give a speech, and a gentleman next to me basically asked me what I do, and I gave him a copy of the book, Just Be Honest, and he actually started reading it, and then I fell asleep on the plane. A little bit later, he tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is kind of interesting, this book, because it would have really helped me out. And what he went on to say is the book, as and we've talked about, is the distinction between fact versus opinion. He said, we thought we knew what our customer wanted. I never thought to ask the customer, and we lost 70% of the revenue.
Wow. Wow. How about that? Folks, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Stephen Gaffney and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com, or if you like to type, here's the long one, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Either one of those will take you to the same place where you can find lots of stuff, thousands of archives, hundreds of articles, lots of resources and links to our Brain Trust members, and most of the Brain Trust members' books are available there for review. You can read a little bit about them. You can click into the different places to buy the book if you decide to do that. I encourage you to check them out because what you can do is while you're considering their book, you can listen to an archive of many of our visits with them. And that could help you decide whether the book's a right fit for you. So check that out when you get a chance. Stephen Gaffney is our guest. His stuff is there, all of his stuff. And his book is called Just Be Honest. Stephen, give us your website, please.
It's justbehonest.com.
All right.
Pretty easy.
Pretty easy. What's there?
.com. I'm sorry?
What do we find there?
Well, actually, within 2 weeks should be a brand new website, which is going to have a whole bunch of old email tips that we've sent out over the past couple of years. But there's some information, marketing, as well as some content stuff they can check out right now. And then for your listeners to check it out in 2 weeks, and there should be a whole bunch of new content there.
All right, that sounds good. So keep checking it out, folks. You might want to bookmark that. It's a good location. Steve's got a lot of good things to say.
Jim, what I was going to say, one thing that they can do is there's an email tip that they can get that that we send out free, and it's on various interesting subjects about how to run effective meetings, how to write effective emails,
all right,
how to turn around negativity and all that stuff.
And they can subscribe there on your website.
Absolutely, and it's free.
All right, good. I appreciate that very much. We like free things. Stephen, you were, as we went to the break, you were telling us about meeting this guy who told you about something that it would he could have benefited from your book if he'd had. But there's more to the story. Remind us what he said, and then tell us the rest of the story.
Well, so when I boarded the plane, very often people say, they'll say, well, what do you do for a living? And so I told him I was doing communication, and he said, well, you know, can you give me some more information? And I basically, I had a copy of the book, so I just gave it to him. Then I went.
You just happened to have a copy, didn't you?
Yeah, no.
I just happen to have a copy of mine when I travel.
Isn't it funny, Jim, you learn when you have your small business, you're always prepared.
You got the product with you, that's right.
But here's what's interesting about this story. He ended up reading the book right then and there, and then he woke me up a little bit later, and he turned to me, basically said, you know, I wish I would have known this stuff because it would have helped me. And what he went on to say is he shared with me a story in which he lost 70% of his revenue because they were rebidding on a contract, and they thought they knew what the client wanted because they had been doing a lot of work with this client. Turns out, as he told me the story, they created a 20-page proposal. Another company created a 5-page proposal, and the other company won. And and I said, well, what happened? He said, well, we just thought we knew what the client wanted. We never asked. And here's what was really interesting. I asked him, who's responsible? And he looked at me, and he said, I am. I just never thought to ask. And he said, now I've got to announce some layoffs. The point being that it's so simple, a lot of this customer service and stuff, is we just ask people what they want rather than thinking we know what they want.
You know, Stephen, that is such a truism, what you just said. When in my experience over the years, I have found that if I proposed a solution to the customer, it was often more than they would have taken. I mean, so many times, if I would just say, I've actually done this, I've actually almost said, you know, I'll give you this to make you happy, for so to speak, and I say, wait a minute, why don't I just ask them? And I would ask them, and they'd say, you know, this is what I want. It would be a lot less than what I was willing to give them.
It's so true, and that's even true.
And it's not that I'm holding something back from them. All I want to do is make them happy.
That's so true. And that's
you know what
true
else? I've actually been a customer in a situation like that. And they actually offered me more than I wanted, and it almost irritated me in some ways. There have been times when I actually said, you know what, you don't have to do that. I don't need that. Just give me a new bag of French fries. That's all I want. just give me French fries that are hot. That's all I want. I don't need a double cheeseburger.
Well, and one of the causes why we do that is we actually think we know what other people are thinking. And the truth is, we're wrong a lot. That's why in the book, in our book, Just Be Honest, there's a whole section in which I show people that we are 50 to 70 to 80% wrong on a daily basis about our opinions. And I know many of your listeners might be thinking, I know I'm right. Well, we tend to conveniently remember the times we're right and forget the times we're wrong. The truth is, on a day-in and day-out basis, we're wrong a lot.
Well, and you know, you're exactly right, and I found that in myself because what's amazing to me is how wrong I am about things that I remember. You know what I mean? I look up something, I know that it's on the right side of I'm looking for something in a book, and I know I remember it being on the right hand page, and I find it and it's on the left hand page. And that's a silly example, but it's an example of how we've convinced ourselves that we're right, don't we?
Absolutely.
Why do we do that? Because we think we're so smart?
Well, I also think we're scared. I think in a lot of ways that we're scared, at least with other people, not so much with ourselves, like the right-hand, left-hand side of the page, but in life we're really afraid to admit that we're wrong or appearing not confident. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have that wired in their head that if they show fear that people are really going to seize upon that and they're going to lose something. When the sign of true confidence is when you can really evaluate the situation from a position we don't know and then investigate to make good, sound decisions.
Right. Well said, Stephen, and right on time, too. Thank you for being here. Give us your website one more time.
Absolutely. It's justbehonest.com.
And that's the name of the book, too. Thank you, Stephen. Will you come back again real soon?
Absolutely.
We'd love to have you back. Thanks, Stephen. See you later.
Thank you.
Quick break. I'll be right back with Jim Camp. We're going to talk about negotiating. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.